Hi, everyone. Welcome to Confetti with me, your host for the next hour. My name is Debbie. Today is Tuesday, September 20, 2011, and I'm broadcasting live from the Washington, D.C. metro area. And my goal is always to bring you information on starting and growing a wedding planning business of your own. And for tons of free resources and content about planning weddings for a living, including archived episodes of this talk show, please visit my website, weddingsforaliving.com. Okay? This show is also completely interactive. So if you have questions or comments, please feel free to call in live. You just need to dial the number 626-213-5678. And that's also the same number for those of you that are listening on your phone. It's the same exact number. Just if you have a question, just press the number one, and I'll know you have something to say, okay? You can also type your question and your comments in the chat room. So if you're online, please do that. If you're calling in and you have access to the chat room, you can send me a private message with your name and your number, and I will announce you that way, okay? All right, good to see everyone here. Welcome. I see a few of you in the chat. Hello, Kim. Hello, Kiki. I hope you had a good 2 weeks. Can you guys believe, I mean, we're like almost through September. Summer is over here, where I am in the world. And yikes, I don't know. How far are you with your goals? How far are you with your wedding planning business? Are you any closer to what you would hope to be at the beginning of the year? Like, did you have plans to do X, Y, Z? And have you managed to get X done and Y done and, you know, hoping to make it to Z? So I have a long list of things that I need to accomplish, and I'm pretty hard on myself, but I'm getting there. I'm getting there. This time of the year over here means bridal shows. So I'm curious if anyone is actually getting a booth or considering getting a booth at their local bridal show, because around September, October, I think October is when they really start to get going. So something to think about. I will be honest, I'm not a fan of the bridal shows for promoting my wedding planning business because it's usually such a madhouse. But if it's worked for you or if you're thinking about it, share with us. We want to hear about that, okay? Okay, if you are online, please, on the show page, there is a place that you can just follow the show, and many of you are following the show. That's great. Thank you so much. But, you know, invite someone else to just listen in, and even if they can't attend live, they can listen to the recordings. But it's all about sharing, and you never know, you may, you know, I was going to say touch someone. But yeah, why not? So feel free to share the information that you hear here, You know what I mean, right? I was going to say something. Oh, that's right. Please post your Facebook URL in the show, on the chat. Sorry. So if you have a Facebook page, put the URL there so you can pick up a few likes. I know many of you have done that already, but it doesn't hurt to do it again, okay? And hopefully that person will reciprocate and like your page back, okay? We got through a few questions last week. And, you know, as always, a lot of your questions, when you send your questions in, I really love to hear from you. I just want you to understand that I see your questions and I'm trying to get through them. Some I tend to respond to them in order, but if something comes up that I think is going to be beneficial to, you know, a large number of us listening, I may sort of bump that question up so that everybody can benefit from it, okay? But please send your questions. I cannot promise I'll get to them right away, but we will get through them. And anytime you hear me answering a question and you think I'm, you know, way off base or you've got a comment or whatever, I want to hear from you. It's not all about me as much as I would like it to be, but I want it to, you know, I want you want you to be involved in what's going on. Last week, we had a phone call. Someone called in. I want to say her name is Frida, and she had asked about a non-disclosure agreement. So she's planning a celebrity wedding and wanted to have a letter of agreement that she could pass out to vendors and so forth. So they're not divulging all the behind-the-scenes information and divulging names and so forth. I didn't have anything at the time, but I did track something down, and if you go to the show, the episode on the weddingsforaliving.com site, because all the shows are archived there too. So the most recent one there has a text document that has the wording for a non-disclosure agreement that you can use if you're planning a celebrity or high-profile wedding. So Frida, if you're listening, and I hope it is Frida, but if I'm not getting the name right, I'm sorry, but I know you know who you are. Just check out the weddingsforaliving.com site under radio, and you'll see the link to the document there, okay? All right, and that's show number 216. just so that you have it. All right, we've got a few questions here. We left off with a cliffhanger. Oh my gosh, guys, I have cliffhangers. Who do I think I am? It's going to my head. But Valerie had asked a question, and I want to get to that first. I see a question in the chat, and I'm going to come to that, but let me get to Valerie's question. So let me refresh your memory. Valerie's question is, what are the must-haves that a planner should take to each new client meeting? I wrote back to Valerie just to get clarification because she used the term client. And what she's really asking is, what do you bring when you're meeting someone who is not yet a client? So someone who has expressed interest in you planning their wedding, but they haven't committed or haven't hired you, haven't paid you to do that yet. So I use the term prospect, which means not, and sometimes I say client too, but and incorrectly, but prospect meaning not yet a client, or if you want to use the term client, say prospective client. So that way we're differentiating someone who is on board, someone who you've committed time to, you have a signed agreement, and they've paid some monies towards what is it, your services, either part of it or all of it. Prospect meaning someone who's a lead, you know, someone who's interested in what you have to offer. Either they've contacted you via email, phone call, or whatever. So we're talking about a prospect meeting. So just remember, right, this meeting is not about you, the wedding planner. As much as you want to talk about everything that you have to offer, you want to let your prospects do most of the talking. So you arrange the meeting, whether it's at your office, whether it's at their place, whether it's at a neutral location, you know, coffee house, if you have an office offsite. So you arrange the meeting, and you want to go in there with the idea that you want to learn as much as you can about this couple, because they have to get to know, you have to get to know them, but they have to get to know you. But what you want to do is to let them talk. And what you want to bring with you is a list of open-ended questions, questions that are not simply answered with a yes or a no. You want to try to find out a lot about them. Some of these questions may not be directly related to their wedding right off the bat, but about them. You know, what kind of things do they like to do? What kind of places, what kind of places do they, where do they go during downtime? I like to ask, you know, where do you like to eat? What type of restaurants do you like to go out to? And that kind of gives me an idea of what they expect. You know, if they don't go out and eat much, maybe they're not interested in a gourmet meal for the reception. You know, things like that will give me a hint as to what kind of people these are. You know, are they outdoorsy? Are they more, you know, inclined to be, do things inside? Are they, do they have a long laundry list of friends and family? Are they more intimate? intimate meaning with regard to friends and things like that, and, you know, being more out there or more, you know, introverted. So those are the kind of things you want to find out. And what I would suggest doing, and what I do, is I take notes and I let them know, you know, I'm listening, I'm going to ask you some questions. I just want to really, this is relaxed, and I want to get your feedback, you know, find out more about you. And I'm going to take some notes, and this is just for my failing memory. I usually say something like that. And I mean, you're not writing down, you know, verbatim everything they're saying, like a court reporter or something, but just making notes that make sense to you. And let them talk. As far as what am I actually bringing, in addition to those list of open-ended questions, I would bring a wedding idea kit if I haven't presented that to them yet, which is just a sort of a mishmash, for lack of a better term, of different pieces of information that they can have that I prepared. It's pretty generic, you know, a few tips, maybe a coupon if I do wedding invitations, things like that, accessories, something for them to hold on to. I also have a tip booklet, and I'll give them that if they haven't received that from me already. And what I also have is a list of my planning services, my wedding planning packages, and it's a pretty detailed list. But I'm holding on to that, and I'm presenting that to them at the end of this meeting, right? So, again, resist the urge to say, this is what I can do for you. You want to find out what it is that they want. Find out how many weddings have they been to. What have they seen and liked? What have they seen and absolutely hated? So you don't want to get caught up in telling them everything about you when they may not be interested in what you, I don't want to say it that way, what you think they may want may not be what they want. Don't judge them by their appearance. I mean, you're going to kind of get an idea, but don't judge them by the kind of car they're driving. Don't judge by the ring that she's got on her finger. I mean, we're going to look at those things, but don't think that's going to determine who this couple is. Make it genuine and just think about it. Consider this like a first date, kind of. You want to make a good impression, but if you talk too much, you can sort of, you know, you may, you know, sort of turn people off slightly. So you don't want to do that. let them talk, encourage them to talk, and ask them a lot of open-ended questions. And my goal when I go to this meeting is for them to, I was going to say fall in love with me, but you know what I mean? I want them to like me, and only if they truly like me. You can't pretend, and you shouldn't pretend to be something you're not. And hey, if there isn't a connection, just look at it as, well, I'm glad we figured that out now and not much later on. Okay, so they'll pick up a vibe, and you'll pick up a vibe also. You know, if this is a couple that you want to work with, or if this is like it's going to be more trouble than it's worth, that they're constantly bickering, doesn't mean you can't plan their wedding, but you may just have to charge a little bit more for the potential headache. You get my drift? So make it about them, and then as things are wrapping up, what I do after I look at my notes, I kind of repeat what they just said to me, sort of like paraphrase. So, you know, if I'm understanding correctly, you guys are, you know, very out, you know, you like the outdoors, and ideally you would like to have a wedding outdoor, an outdoor wedding with some sort of element of the outdoors that you can incorporate. You have a small list of family and friends you want to include, and you've been to a few weddings and you don't like the glitzy bling bling kind of thing, that kind of thing. I'm just reading back. And what I'm waiting for, what I'm trying to do is to elicit a positive yes kind of response. Do I have that right? Am I on the right track? Because subconsciously, the more times that they're saying yes and nodding their head in agreement with you, they're connecting with you. And then when they connect with you, the likelihood of them wanting to hire you increases. Unbelievably so. And then I'm going to present, you know, and say, well, this is my list of wedding planning packages. Based on what you've told me, package A might be better suited for you, or package B. But take a look at this. I want you guys to discuss it and, you know, tell me where you think, what you think might work for you. I'm not going in there with a contract, because each of my contracts is personalized. And I don't think I've ever had a couple that says, yeah, we want to sign the dotted line now. I've had couples that have done that as soon as they got home. You know what I mean? It's perfect. It's a wonderful feeling. But I'm not trying to make the sale per se right then and there. I'm trying to understand what it is that they want and to see if there is a match and see if we connect. And assuming this meeting is going well, I'm going to present my services and just tell them exactly, you know, take a look at this. You know, you don't want to go in there with that goal of trying to understand who they are and trying to get them to understand what you can do for them. But don't come out the gate saying what you can do for them, because you don't know until you've spoken to them. Now, granted, you may have had some prior conversations over the phone, via email, but this is a face-to-face. And also, if you have spoken with them before, you know, before this face-to-face, you know, make notes during those interactions and repeat that again when you meet with them. And even if they told you some of that stuff, more than likely you've been communicating with just one person. So when you have both of them there, this will be a chance for you to show them that you've been listening and paying attention. So when I go, you know, when I'm going to this prospect meeting, again, I'm taking a list of open-ended questions. I cannot do it from memory. I mean, some of the questions, of course, I know, but I'm going through the list. I'm not reading, you know, okay, question one, okay, question two, not like that, but just sort of using that as a checklist. And as they do the open-ended questions, it's just going to sort of go into a conversation. This meeting shouldn't go longer than an hour. Even if you guys are getting along real well, try to keep this to a minimum. And you know you want them to want more. Don't give away the farm. And if they start asking questions like, well, can you recommend a florist, or can you recommend a great person to make the cake that we're talking about, you know, simply get used to saying, oh, absolutely, I've got a great list. But you know, that's something I charge for. And if when you become a client, not if, but when you become a client, I'd be happy to, you know, go over some things with you. So don't get swiped into giving away everything. If there is a vendor that you feel that you want to share with them and you feel comfortable telling them, tell them. But if you give them all the information, there's no reason for them to hire you. So the more of these you do, the better it gets. I mean, practice with your family members, practice with friends, and have them, you know, pretend that they're a couple getting married and just go through the routine, and you'll become more and more comfortable with that. Okay. So yeah, the list of open-ended questions, a wedding idea kit if they haven't received it already, and a detailed listing of my services, my wedding planning services. So, you know, it's usually 4 or 5 pages and stapled together. It's got my logo on, and I hand it to them. And tell, you know, give them my card and say, you know, please give me a call, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you. And I will follow up, but, you know, that's going beyond this meeting. So don't panic with this meeting. If it's your first one, it is scary when it's your first one, but don't worry. The more of these you do, the easier it gets. And just practice. Just role play with someone, you know, that's close to you and get some feedback that way. Okay? So, Valerie, I hope that helps. That's what I would suggest for the very first prospect or prospective client meeting. Okay? All right, let's take a look at the chat. Oh, wow, you guys are busy talking up a storm. Hey, Daniel's back. Did you have a good vacation, Daniel? I'm going to stop. I see some questions. Let me scroll up here. Josette, hello there. See ya. Gary, hey, casual weddings. Good to see you, Gary. Kiki, oh, okay. So we were talking about bridal shows, right? So Kiki asks, do I have recommendations for what a planner should do for attending a show? Meaning attending as an exhibitor, right, Kiki? I'm going to defer to an article on the website, on the weddingsforliving.com site. But, you know, whenever you're doing something, whether you're going to a client meeting, whether you're going to a prospective client meeting, whether you've got a booth at the bridal show, decide in your mind before you go, what do I want to accomplish today? Not as an exhibitor. Okay, Kiki, thank you. But what do I want to accomplish? So if you're going as like a bride is going, you're going as an attendee, what am I going to do today? What is my goal? Because then you can measure at the end, was I successful? Did I accomplish part of that? If you're just going there, I was going to say willy-nilly, but that's it. If you're just going there willy-nilly, how do you know if it was a success or not? So if you're going there and you're saying, okay, I'm a new wedding planner. I want to see what kind of wedding vendors are out there. I want to see who I can, you know, if I can connect, pick up some cards, get some information, then go there to do that. And if you do go and you're not exhibiting, Kiki, and you're going as a guest, as an attendee, just remember, and I'm not insinuating that you have not paid to have a booth, so do not solicit brides. Don't pass out your cards to brides, or unless you run into someone and you're having a sincere conversation and, you know, you think there's a connection, then you might want to, you know, I was going to say slip them a card. But don't go with the intention to do that, you know. It's a really great place. A wedding bridal show is a really great place to see which vendors are out there, who's doing what. But, you know, decide what it is that you want to do. And when I go to bridal shows like that, it's usually just I want to see what vendors are out there. And when vendors talk to me, don't pretend like you're a bride. I let them know right off the bat, I'm a wedding planner. And, hey, I love the setup of your booth. Or, you know, your portfolio looks fantastic. I mean, you know, you want to pour a little bit of sugar on it, but don't go overboard. If you don't like it, don't pretend that you do. But just say, you know, hey, do you have a card or do you mind if I pick up some marketing materials? I mean, of course you can. You could just pick it up. But, you know, always ask, I know these are for brides, but is it okay if I take a brochure? And then sometimes that sort of lets them know that you respect them as another professional. And, you know, you might be able to start a conversation. If they're sort of slow and not getting any foot traffic, they may be more than happy to speak to you. It's also a good way to see, you know, what the other wedding planners are doing. I'll say I'm a wedding planner and, you know, the daggers come out at that point. But, you know, what do you care? You just want to see what's happening, and it's a great place to see what the vendors are offering. There's usually a big fashion show, you know, and you see all the big poofy dresses. But it's a madhouse. It's a real madhouse unless you're going to a very intimate kind of setting. And what I also like to do is to get ideas for producing maybe a show of my own on a much smaller level. You may see some ideas. And if a booth looks really great, I'll say, you know, I'm a wedding planner. This looks fantastic. Do you mind if I take a picture? I'll always ask for permission, because they may not want you to, you know. So just ask as one professional to another. If you get attitude, don't make a big deal about it. That's their issue, not yours. Just keep moving. And it's probably nothing personal. They're probably just that way in general. Don't know why they're in the wedding, you know, wedding business, but don't let somebody's attitude spoil what you're there to do. Okay? But please don't solicit, don't market to other brides when you're there, not out in the open. Fastest way to get yourself kicked out. Don't put flies on windshields or anything like that, okay? And hey, you know what? One thing I would suggest, talk to the bridal show promoter and let them know, you know, I'm not quite ready to exhibit in this bridal show, but I really want to see what goes on. I mean, can I get a pass? And, you know, just talk to the bridal show promoter and let him or her know that you just kind of want to see what's going on as another professional. And they, you know, they may send someone, you know, they may have someone just go to show you around or maybe talk to a few vendors or something like that. Maybe they'll cut you a deal, or maybe they know a vendor that's trying to split the cost of a booth. Although from my experience, most bridal show promoters, don't want to do that. But just always keep remember what you're doing. You're a professional and just handle it that way. You're going to get some people that are going to be kind of weird. Again, don't make it your issue. I don't know why everything has to be so cloak and dagger with the wedding planning profession industry. It's not necessary. It really isn't. So go out there and just smile, smile lots, and be pleasant. Okay? Make notes on the backs of your cards and things like that. Okay? So I hope that helps, Kiki. Great. Okay, so Daniel's back from Daniel says he's back from the cold. All right. Yeah, so Kiki, yeah, going through and meeting vendors, that's okay. But don't take up too much of their time. And even if they want to talk, you kind of cut it off and let them know, hey, I'd really love to meet with you. And then, you know, because once you've had that face-to-face, it'll be easier to do the email communication because most people don't respond to an email right off the bat if they don't know who you are. But just saying your email in the subject line, you know, following up from the bridal show, and then say, you know, I want to schedule time to meet with you. You know, never want to just meet a vendor on the fly unless you absolutely have to and there's no other reason that they're going away for, you know, many, many months. If they're going away for many, many months, you don't want them as a wedding vendor. So you know what I mean? So just take it on the professional level and move forward in that way. Okay. All right. Let's see. I just want to check. Daniel says, arrange my own wedding show, free advertising, and build relationships with vendors. Yes, indeed. Are you arranging your own? Is that what you're saying, Daniel? That you arrange your own? Oh, I arrange my own wedding shows. Good. See, Daniel's on it. It can be done, right, Daniel? And it doesn't have to be the big mammoth bridal shows. Daniel, are bridal shows like that in the UK? Are they really big and really, really a lot of people? They have to have it in some kind of like convention center? Because that's how a lot of them are over here. But you can certainly do it on a smaller scale. Oh, wonderful. Gary has been very busy personally and professionally. I hope that's a good thing. I hope that's a great, oh, that's a good thing. Oh, Daniel. So yeah, they're big over there too. Yeah, it can be really overwhelming. It can be really overwhelming. But if you can check out Pamela Ann Noxon, who does this what bridal party thing on the West Coast, her shows are really cool, very, very cute. Oh, some are and some aren't, Daniel. Okay. Yeah, bridal shows can be, you know, a little bit overwhelming, but good way to get some leads. All right. Let's see what other questions I wanted to. Something I wanted to mention. As some of you, as you may have heard me say, I don't really get to watch a lot of TV. You know, that happened at the beginning of the year. I decided I just have to cut out some things, and TV was one of them. So it comes like, you know, when you have some young kids get to watch TV on the weekend. Well, that's me, like a little kid. I get to watch TV on the weekends for a few hours. It's like a big treat. So there's a show called Big Easy Brides. Have you guys seen it? It's a bridal chapel that's in New Orleans. And I mean, really crazy stories coming out of there. But it just goes to show that you can be, you know, you can specialize in different ways. They have a wedding chapel. They're not in Las Vegas, as where a lot of wedding chapels are, but they've got a venue. People can come in there and get married, and they've got an officiant. So that's really all it is. There's someone in there who officiates the wedding, and there are several different wedding planners that can organize it, whether they someone just walking in off the street or I don't know what the wedding plan the license situation is down in Louisiana. It must be very lax, for lack of a better term. So, you know, don't when you're thinking specialty, you know, there's so many different ways that you can do this. If you're an officiant and you know of a place or a wedding business or a banquet hall that has a facility, it has an area that would make a perfect chapel, you know, maybe you can come up to make an arrangement to be the officiant and it becomes a wedding chapel. You're going to get a lot of attention when you're the only gig in town doing something like this. So what I mean to say is that, you know, this Big Easy Brides, they stand out because they're different. And can you, I mean, any concerns that they're going to be getting, they're going to be, business is going to be slow? It's not. I mean, everyone's, they're on the map, they're on TV. I mean, you may not get a reality show, but you're going to get some attention. So I say that to say, you know, keep driving home the specializing thing. It's not going to limit you. I promise you it will have the reverse effect when you find the right specialty or the right niche for you. Okay? So don't be afraid to specialize. Okay. Let's see what a question we have here. Daniel says, hi, Debbie. What do you say if you feel you cannot work with your potential client? I don't want to take on someone I clash with and lead to a damage of my reputation, but I also want a bad don't want a bad rep for saying I can't do their wedding. It's okay to bow out gracefully. I've done it. You know, been there, done that, t-shirt, everything. We're all human beings. There's so many of us on this earth. The potential for you not to connect with someone is there. And a lot of times you can pick it up during the meeting. You're saying client, Daniel, so I'm assuming they're already your client. It's okay to cut ties, but I think that you just have to be prepared for that and make it. I try to make it seem like it's me, sort of like the breakup, it's me, not you, kind of thing. And, you know, something like, you know, I don't think this, I feel like I'm not helping you. My goal is to help you plan this wedding, but I feel we're clashing. So maybe what we should do is consider, maybe there's another arrangement. I can help you find another wedding planner, but I want you to be happy. This is a very big day, a very special day for you. Let's see how we can make this work, right? And sometimes just saying that puts the other person in check. If they're the problem, of course it's their problem. It could not be us. But it sort of brings it, just brings everything to the table. But by being, taking what's the term you use when you're being the bigger person? Yeah, being the bigger person and saying, you know, it's me, not you, kind of lets them out. But now make sure that, you know, if you've done a whole, that you've been compensated for your time. You know, you don't want to be planning more than what you've been paid for, assuming that's all on board. Help them find another planner, bow out gracefully. But by taking on that role and saying, I want you to be happy, I want this to work out, you know, let me help you. Even if it means me helping you find someone else, I'm willing to do that and go that route. If they're not clients yet, well, hey, thank goodness for that, right? But what I do when I come across a client, a prospect, I did that thing with the client prospect there, and I can sense it's going to be a headache, my fees go way up, which is why I don't advertise set fees. They go way up. And my hope is that they're going to say, oh, no, that's too much. But my feeling is just in case they do, and I did that once. I didn't go crazy, but I bumped it up a few hundred. And do you know those people said yes? But it lets me know that I'm being compensated for all the nonsense and the headache. But as you do more weddings, you will become very intuitive as to where you should go and which couples are not heading in the right direction, which comes back to the specializing thing again. You should, when you specialize, it's a certain kind of person is attracted to you. Certain kind of clients are attracted to what you're doing. When you're a generalist, you're going to get a range of people. Not saying that you can't have a bad client when you specialize, but when you do, the likelihood is less that it's going to be a problem because they're just drawn to what it is that you're doing. And like-minded people do things in a similar way, and there's more likely a chance to be a connection. But, you know, not always. So I would say jack up the fee, man. I mean, charge them more. Tell them this is how much it's going to be. If you normally charge $2,000, tell them it's going to be $4,000. And if they ask why your fees are so high, I mean, you say whatever you want to say. I've, based on the number of meetings and the interactions and so forth, and, you know, I'm going to have to hire more staff, things like that. I always put it up. Staff is a good one. If you've got to hire more people to make sure that this wedding goes off without a hitch, just use that as the reasoning. But at the end of the day, this is your business. It's not a job. You get to decide who you want to work with. But do it gracefully because your reputation, as Daniel says, needs to remain intact. Okay? So I hope that helps. Let's see. Kim says she's seen the show, and there are lots of couples out there. They're ready to get married. Yeah, well, at least they think they do. They think they're ready. So, I mean, you could do that. You could be a specialist in people who want to get married in 6 weeks or less. If you're ready and you've got assistance in place, hey, I do that. You know, plan real quick weddings. Zia agrees. Yeah, I believe the riches are in the niches. I think the specializing thing will help, especially if you're lost and you don't know where to start. I have this phrase that I say often enough. I say, my head is just so heavy. My mind is heavy because there's so much going on. But when you specialize, you can sort of narrow things down. And instantly, certain things just disappear because you're not dealing with that, I'm not dealing with that. That's not part of my specialty, okay? So don't be afraid to specialize, my friends. Do not be afraid to specialize. Okay, I'm going to jump to another question, and this is from Tatiana, and she asks, her question is, you emphasize a lot on specializing, which makes total sense to me. Thank you. Good. I'm glad you agree. However, it seems as though most of the wedding planners in my area offer everything from full-service planning, month of coordination, and day of service. Since I'm working another full-time job, I'm considering specializing in month of, day of, and also offer an a la carte option. Is this specialized enough, and will this move separate me from the competition by bringing me more business? Yeah, I think it will. I think it will, Tatiana. Specializing as a day off coordinator is you can that's a good niche. You've just got to master it. You've got to come up with some systems and nail it. And I said it before. So this is a really good niche if you are if you do have a full time job. But you've got to get systems in place so that everything happens like clockwork. That you know, okay, we've had the client meeting. The next thing we've got to do is set up the talk to the vendors. I need to see all the vendor contracts, and then I do this. So it's a very logistical step-by-step process because you're moving so fast. Normally, day of services happen towards the tail end of the wedding. It does happen, but not very often. But most people do not hire you for day of services way in advance of the wedding day. It's usually coming down to the end when they realize they can't handle it anymore, and they need someone to be there on the day of the wedding. It's a good thing when they make that realization because too many brides discover this after the wedding, and it's, of course, it's way too late. But you just got to be ready to go, and you've got to be swift and savvy enough to take control from them, take the planning away. It's usually the bride that's been doing everything. You've got to take everything from her and pick up where she left off. And the only way to do it, it's just practice. You've got to keep doing those kinds of weddings. And don't be afraid. If you do that and you make it a specialty, you will stand out. But what I find a lot of people do is they have a specialty and they've taken all this time to create the specialty and then they don't want to share it because they think they're limiting themselves. They'll meet with someone and say, yeah, I plan weddings. I specialize in day of, but I also do full service and I also do invitations. Don't do that. Don't do that. Highlight what it is that you're doing. Highlight and show off what you're special at doing. Your vendors will pick up on it, and your potential clients will pick up on it. Your family and friends will have a much easier time telling other people about what you do if you specialize. So they'll say, yes, Tatiana does weddings, but you know what she does? She just focuses on the last part of the wedding planning process. She comes in right at the end and gets everything set up, and that day goes off without a hitch. She's got an excellent team of people, and it's like you don't even know what's happening. That wedding just moves like you wouldn't believe. I mean, and the prime example is, I don't know how many of you have been to a wedding where it's just dragging on and on and on. You're waiting for the speech, you're waiting for the cake, you're waiting for the first dance. It's just taking too long because it hasn't been coordinated, it hasn't been planned well. So you, as day of coordinator, come in and you have a team of people. You have someone at the reception site, you have someone at the ceremony site, you have someone who's overseeing the groomsmen. You've got that down pat. And when you can do that, that's what you highlight. And don't be afraid to say that. You know, I know this wedding, when your vendors are meeting with clients and they're coming down to the end and they don't seem to have it together, they can say, I've got just the wedding planner for you. She doesn't do any full service planning. All she does is focus on the last part of the wedding planning process. You need to speak to her. Wouldn't that sound appealing to you if you were coming down to the last few weeks or months of your wedding planning process? I mean, think about it. Isn't that who you want to do business with? Because she's done it so many times that she knows what to do. Or he's done it so many times he knows what to do. That's what I mean by specializing. So highlight it. Be proud of that. Don't hide it. Don't cover that up. And resist the urge to start adding all the other stuff that you do. You're not going to lose business. You're going to attract attention. Okay? So, Tatiana, you can do it. And you say, you know, you and also offer a la carte. Yeah, you will offer a la carte. You don't have to mention that. You don't even have to talk about it. Because when you meet with your clients and or your prospective clients and you explain to them what you do, if what you do isn't a perfect fit, then you'll say, well, I can do this for you. And this is not part of the package. It's a separate thing. It's you know, a la carte or they pay you hourly. Don't worry about it. That's going to come. So don't. I'm going to say don't lose sleep. We all lose sleep as wedding planners at some point. But, you know, don't be afraid to promote what it is that you specialize in. Don't be afraid to do that. Resist the urge to add all the other bits and pieces on top of that, okay? All right. Tatiana, I hope that answers the first part of your question. The next part of her question goes on to say, also due to my ethnic background, I attract clients from the Caribbean. I'd also like to continue serving this population, but would also like to broaden my client base. Should I specialize in the Caribbean market or reach out to other ethnic groups? So you see what she's doing? Tatiana, you're trying to broaden it. You know, don't worry so much. You can still specialize in day of and you focus on the Caribbean community if that's where you're comfortable and that's where your passion lies. Like Like love's like. We do business with people that we can connect with. And if you're drawn to the Caribbean community and they are drawn to what you're doing, guess what? You're going to get business. You're going to get people who want to book the services that you're offering. So you don't have to make it like a specialness. You just can kind of just roll it in there, roll it up. And that narrows down your niche even more. So maybe you do the end part of the wedding, but your specialty is within the Caribbean community. You can market that to death, couldn't you? You know where, you know what kind of, maybe what areas, maybe where, what kind of places they tend to gravitate towards. And I'm not trying to stereotype, but it's just that when you're dealing with one ethnic group, it becomes a lot easier to narrow down how you market your business, how you explain what you do. You know, maybe someone from the Caribbean is more in tune with some of the, you're more in tune with some of the terminology and just the there are cultural things that go on. Like I've planned a couple of African weddings, right? And not all African weddings are this way, but many of them I have planned. It doesn't matter how many wedding invitations you send out. The couple already tells me most people are not going to RSVP, but most of them will show up with someone else that we haven't invited. Oh my gosh. But that's part of their culture. That's the way it is. So that's what I mean when I say understanding how things work within different ethnic groups. So if you understand that and you get that, go for it, Tatiana. Just go for that. So the thing with a niche is you want to be passionate about it, but it also you can be passionate about it and know nothing about it. If you're willing to learn and it excites you, that's a great way to go. But if it just comes naturally to you and you're just so familiar with the Caribbean community or the Greek community and it's like, you know, it's just part of who you are, then hey, go for that if that's what you want to do. It doesn't mean, you know, if you're Greek, you can only plan Greek weddings. If you're Jewish, you can only plan Jewish weddings. If you're African-American, you're going to work with African-American brides. No, not at all. It's just where your passions lie and what you were drawn to and what comes easiest for you if that's the way you want to go, because you've cut down the learning curve significantly. So I hope that helps, Tatiana, but don't worry about specializing. And if you kind of get like the ethnic, you've got the ethnic and the day off thing and you can make that work, make it work. Just make sure that you have enough business in your area to support you. It doesn't make sense to go after a niche if you want to do specialize in Caribbean weddings if there aren't a lot of Caribbean people in your area. I mean, why would you do that? I mean, well, you could do that, but you're going to struggle, right? So just make sure that's the other side of the coin there, all right? So I hope that helps. All right, I see a few people here. Hey, I recognize some of you guys. Natika, Lori, good to see you. Chazelle, wonderful. Camille, fantastic to see you. Hello, Carla. So if you guys have Facebook pages, please post the link in the chat, right? So everybody can like your page, okay? Please post your Facebook link. All right. Let's see. We have any questions? Anybody on the switchboard? No. All right. I'm going to keep going with questions, guys. The next question is from, oh, shoot, I didn't put her name here. I'm sorry. Oh, wow. I hate not saying who submitted this question. Oh, Devon, D-E-V-A-N. Am I saying it right? Devon. I hope I'm saying that right, guys. Here is her question. I think it's a woman. I think it's a female. So question is, I have always loved wedding planning. I have planned many of my family and friends' weddings, at least 10 that I can count. Wonderful. The last few I've planned, me and my sister-in-law plan together. Every time I plan one or plan a party, everyone always says I should start my own business. My sister-in-law and I have talked deeply about this, but just don't know where to start. We've worked out the different price packages, have a contract, and just got business cards printed. I would just like to know what else we need to have or do before we get it out, before we put this out there. I know once we book our first bride, we need to be prepared. Any suggestions would be very much appreciated. Okay, looks like you're on, you know, you're moving and shaking. I would say, based on what you've done already, just get going. I know I would say, you know, I always want to say specialize, but that's just, I just think it just makes life so much easier for you when you're new. But if you've gone as far as the contract, the packages, the business card, I didn't see that you have a website or an online web presence. But You know, because these days everybody's going online, right? So if you don't have a website, I'm hoping there's a Facebook page or something, some way that people can find you online. But I would suggest checking out show number 210, which is the show that I did about the 10 things you should have in place before you get your wedding planning business going. So check that out, Devon. I hope I'm saying your name correctly. I'm sorry if I'm not. And listen to that show. If you go onto weddingsforaliving.com under radio and look for that show number, you'll see it, 210. And you'll get some ideas there. But, you know, don't overplan. I mean, we're planners, but don't plan to the point of inaction. You've got to do something. Get moving. Something is better than nothing. My concern, guys, is I don't want you to get started, not get any leads, and then to get discouraged, which is why I always emphasize the specializing thing, because it can really speed things up for you. So check it out, and it sounds like you're on the way. You're moving and shaking. And what I would suggest also is all those weddings that you've planned, those 10 that you can count, go back and get testimonials from those folks. Get them to put in writing what you did for them and how wonderful you were. They do not need to say that you were not compensated if you were not. They just want to highlight, you know, the great things that you've done and tell them you would like to provide their name and number or name and email in some way for prospects that want to find out more about you or to find out if you are as good as you say you are. I mean, you don't post their information online or anything like that, but you just have it ready to provide to someone who asks you for references. And guys, if people are not asking for references, you can offer that and say, you know, I have references if you'd like to speak to a few people. I don't like to use the word references, but I just generally say, you know, talk to a few people that I've worked with in the past and you'll get a feel for some of the things that I've done. And, you know, be willing to share that information if they don't ask. But most couples will ask you for references. You know what the funny thing is? Most people don't check the references. Isn't that crazy? But and you as a wedding planner should be checking your references. When you find a vendor and you get references, please check them. Please check them. I mean, the temptation is to sort of just, you fall in love with them, you think they're great. Check the references and ask good questions, okay? So, Devon, I hope that helps. Let me just take a look over here. Camille said wedding planning is colorblind. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think the tendency is when you're new, these are apprehensions that you were going to have. You know, just I don't want to sound like like I'm tooting my own horn, but just listen to some of the shows that I've done. I am one of your biggest cheerleaders. I am here to just tell you, you can do this. If you want to do this, you can do this. Don't make someone's issue your issue. Don't make that their issue. If they think, you know, you're going to look a certain way and when they meet you, sometimes you can tell, right? when you meet someone, you're kind of like, oh, I was expecting it to look like that. But the thing is, they're going to get to know you. People have to get to know you and like you. And initially, there may be that sort of shock value. But if you're offering something that they want and they like your style and they're connecting, then they're going to move forward. If they don't connect, you don't want to work with those people anyway, right? You want to make this as smooth as possible for yourself. All right. Okay. See, we've got a lot of people here tonight. That's wonderful. Guys, keep posting your Facebook pages in there so people can like. And if you posted it already, post it again because it keeps scrolling. Let's see. Hey, Chazelle. Good to see you. I said that already, but Chazelle, right? A lot of people here. I love that. Debbie, PM Events from the West Coast, right? Oh, good to see you. I haven't seen you in a while. You did your first destination wedding. Woohoo! That is major. That's fantastic. Congratulations. Kim's going to specialize in day. Yeah, okay. You're talking. Okay. I keep trying to jump in on the chat and I can't keep up. So I'm going to be. I just keep trying to catch up. I can't catch up. Let's see. Natika says she has a friend that has an event planning company, which was handling a lot of the vendors. So when the planner she initially had bailed, oh my gosh, she couldn't be there. She asked if I would be interested in taking the job. Yeah, you could do that. I'm always a little wary, though, when I've got to step in where the other planner left off. So if you feel comfortable, just make sure you do your homework when you're doing that. It's just like picking up from day of. When you're doing day of planning, you're picking up where the client left off, but this time you're picking up where the planner left off, and you would hope that the wedding planning will be in a better situation than if you know, a layperson, a person who doesn't is not familiar with planning weddings, has done. So just ask a lot of questions. And again, when you're doing day of, you know, you got to be prepared with things. You've got to lead. You've got to take control. So, you know, you'll find out what they're doing, but you've got to be prepared to ask them really good questions. And that's the key part with day off. So you can pick up from where they left off. Okay. All right. Debbie said someone's struggling with getting likes on her Facebook page. Did you post your link? Post your Facebook page in here so we can like that page and everybody will, hopefully, you know, they'll like back. Debbie will like back. Okay. All right. I keep trying to read the chat. I'm giving up, guys. I'm sorry. You guys, make friends. All right. Question I have here is from Michelle. Now, I read the question, and I was struggling a little bit because I think Michelle is writing, but the language barrier, I'm going to paraphrase what she says. She had an event, and it seems like she provided decorating pieces for the dessert table, fountains, decorated cupcakes with a stand. The part for the main cake and the balloons and the tables were done by another company. So she did some portion of the decorating. After the party finished, she says they picked up their own things, but they also took her stuff, her decor elements. Oh my gosh. They only left on the table the fountain and the crystal vases and the stand without the decorating elements. She says she's worked with other teams before and has not had problems, but these people, she doesn't know them. She doesn't know what her reaction would be if she sees her decorating stuff at another event. Well, I know what my reaction would be. I can't say it on the air. She says she talked with the client's husband, and he apologized and agreed to receive an invoice for the damage caused. I emailed them the information yesterday. Okay, so here's the issue. She's done some sort of decor, and whoever, it seems like the other decorating company, walked off with her stuff. Not cool at all. From what I can gather, based on this communication, I may be missing some parts. And she says, by the way, that she had such a bad feeling. She was angry, sad, almost crying. I can imagine. I'm so sorry. If you are planning weddings as a planner and you are also doing decor, and I'm not saying that's what happened here, but since we're talking about this, you should not be balling that all into one. If you're a wedding planner, you should have a wedding planning contract. If you're also doing this decor or design, you should have a separate contract and separate pricing for that. Don't roll all that up together. If you are providing equipment, which is what Michelle did, you've got to decide how you're doing this. Either you are providing it for the clients to rent, which means they're picking it up, it's going to be there, and at the end of the event, they're going to return it to you, or you're installing the design, and you're going to break down the design, meaning you're going to set it up, and at the end of the event, you are going to pick it up. If you are doing I'm setting this up, and you know the client's responsible for bringing it back to you, you have to charge a deposit. And the amount of that deposit should be at least two times, but I would suggest three times the value of the items that are there. If that chandelier is $50, it costs you $50, charge them a deposit of $150, okay? That way, they know that they've got to keep their eye on this, otherwise they're not going to get their money back. You know that if for some bizarre reason that goes missing, you've been compensated for your, I was going to say emotional distress, but yeah, emotional distress. So make sure you charge a significant deposit. If you pay $50 for that vase, do not charge a deposit of $50. It should be at least $100. I would suggest $150, okay? The next thing is you need to be aware of what's going on at that event. You need to know which other vendors are present, and you need to know what time the installation is and what time the breakdown is. So if that wedding ends at 5, you need to be there at 4:30 ready to pick up your stuff for when that wedding ends at 5, or some representative needs to be there. Don't get lazy, don't get into the habit of letting the client do it unless you have charged them a deposit. Okay. Now, I'm not saying that this would have avoided what happened, because I don't know why these people are taking stuff if it's not theirs. theirs. It may have been something as simple as the person that was breaking down the equipment didn't know and just assumed all of that stuff belonged to the company they were there. But if you were there when the breakdown happened, you would know to get your stuff, right? So we've got to be accountable, okay? Be accountable and watch out for your stuff. You wouldn't leave your stuff unattended. You wouldn't leave your purse or your computer unattended without making sure that someone was there to get it, right? You wouldn't do that. So if you're into the design and you're into the decor part, charge separately for that. If you're not planning the wedding, you should still have a contract in place, and that contract needs to show, let the person who's using your services, the repercussions. These are the side effects if I don't get my stuff back. This is my new term for the month, guys. You know I go through them, tumultuous. This month is side effects. So you need to be on point. You're a professional, and deal with your stuff as a professional. Not no friend. I don't care how friendly, how nice these folks are. This is your business. This is your livelihood, okay? And there needs to be an element of pain. If I know I've got to get $150 back at the end of the night as a deposit, I'm making sure that I know where that chandelier or that vase or whatever it is. Okay, so either you're there as you're doing this in a rental capacity where they pick it up and set it up themselves, or if you're setting up, be ready, be there for the breakdown. You've got to be there to pick up your stuff. So get there on time. If you're there the same time they're there, hopefully you're there before the. When I say they're there, I mean the other decor company. And if there is another decor company, you're supposed to know that up front. Am I the only person providing design? Because you guys got to communicate. You've got to be able to make sure that your stuff is cohesive with theirs. Because, you know, if you've got a really great design element in your design company A and design company B is doing design, and they're two completely different styles, it's not going to look right. And when someone asks who did the design, maybe your name comes up. You know what's going to happen? You're taking the blame for all of that mismatch, you know, uncohesive. Is uncohesive a word? All that disparity, you're going to take the blame for that. So be conscious enough, cognizant enough about the design element. If you're into design, you want to know what's going on. You want to know what color the carpet, what are the rooms, you know, what do the tables look like? What tablecloths are going on the table? You've got to know all that. And during that discussion, you're going to find out if there's another company there. And if there's another company there, get your skates on because you don't want that other company taking your stuff. So, Michelle, I hope that helps. I feel for you, and I'm happy to hear that your client has stepped up and has said, you know, send me an invoice for it because it sounds like they're responsible. But just make sure that you build that deposit in there. If they want your stuff, they'll pay the deposit. It's just a deposit. They're getting their money back. So, you know, either you take I would suggest, you know, checks. I would hope the check is fine. But, I mean, if it's you're holding on to cash, so that seems a little weird to do. But, you know, even if you take a payment, then you refund them. But take something. You need something to hold on to for your stuff. Daniel says he lost so much stuff to damage and fabric. Well, I should have opened my own mill for the amount that got damaged. Well, Daniel, you're too funny. But, yeah, it's not it's tough. Daniel said that's why he went into planning, not decor. Okay, yeah, it's tough. Some people I just think some people just don't want to do the planning. They want to do the design. I used to do balloon decorating, guys. I used to love that. But when my clients were asking for the event planning help, I realized the anal side of me kicked in, and I did much better with that. So decor, I tend to sort of push off to someone else. I just prefer to have someone else do that. Hey, and if you are doing both, make sure you have a design manager on board whose only responsibility is to oversee the design element so that when you're taking care of the ceremony and the logistics of the planning, he or she is looking at the design. And that's the person that makes sure, you know, the linens get there on time and that the centerpieces are there and that the linens are there before the cake table gets there. Their eye is just for the design element, and that's all they're focused on. One person to do that if you're doing both. It's very hard to do logistics and design and be the only person doing that. So get one person whose job is to be the event design event manager. You know what I mean? Okay. Okay. Let's see what else we've got here. Oh wow! Look at the time. We ran out of time. You know what, guys? I've got one other question here, but I'm gonna push that off to the next call, the next show. I am working on ways to sort of do some recorded things that you can listen to after the show or in between the shows because it's just not possible to get everything done in 1 hour. We could extend the show, but I just think that you guys are going to get bored of that. I don't want to ask you to be around for more than 1 hour. I think it's a lot. So it's either we do that or we go to a weekly format where we do it every week, which is a bit of a strain right now for me. Or I think what I will do is answer some questions and just post them that you can look at them at, you know, at your leisure or at your leisure if you're Daniel. So working on that. Let's see. I see a few other questions here. You know, last chance to put your Facebook link, your Facebook page on in the chat there. Oh, my gosh. So perfect day. Natika did her first wedding. Wonderful. Okay, great. I'm going to talk to you offline, Natika. Congratulations. Isn't it a great feeling when you pull off that wedding? When I did my first wedding, I vowed I would never do another one. I vowed I would never do another one, you know, many years later. So, oh, okay. You have a five-hour time. Daniel has a five-hour time difference. Daniel will be just like a vampire up at 2 a.m. in the morning listening to the show. Okay. Oh, so some of you are saying you would listen to some longer show. I don't know if you guys, you're saying that now. Who, you guys are not going to want to listen to a show longer than an hour. I'm telling you. I think it's going to be tough. All right. So I'm going to wrap things up. I want to thank everyone for being here. Please check out weddingsforaliving.com. You know, you can see all of the shows that are archived there. Oh, Kim said, is there a central? You know, that's a good idea. Kim asked, is there a central page with all of the Facebook pages? No, but ding, 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 ding. That's a great idea. That's what I'm going to have to do. How are we going to do this, guys? I mean, there's a Facebook page for weddingsforaliving.com. Could you post there? Or I don't know how to do that. I got to think about that. And I'm sure it's not that tough. I'm making it much harder on myself, right? So we got to put one page where everyone can put all their Facebook links, and then everyone can like, yeah, fantastic. Thank you, Kim. Smart cookie. Okay. Oh, okay. So a longer show maybe. Okay, so we'll give it a try. Maybe that's what we've got to do. Please also, if you, the Wedding Business Guide is the other site that I have. It's a member site. It is it's fairly affordable. We're getting ready to change the format there and have a lot more things going on. So think about that. That's more one-on-one stuff and more detailed, comprehensive stuff. But I still want to continue doing this. I've just got to come up with a way that makes it work, that we can accommodate everything that's going on. Okay? So I'm going to see you in 2 weeks from now. So today is, what, the 20th? And we will be in October. Oh, my goodness. October 4th is the next show. All right? So please check out weddingsforaliving.com. Invite a friend. If you go on the show page, please post a comment so that those that are coming along and don't know anything about it can see if it's something that they want to participate in. On the weddingsforaliving.com site, all the shows are archived there. Feel free to paste a comment on there too. And send your questions in. There is an ask page on the website. I will try to get to them. I promise you, I do read them. I read every single email. Problem is, a lot of times I'll read them on my mobile device and then say, okay, I need to get back to that, and then I'll forget. Not good, right? So thank you so much for your support and for the feedback. I'm glad you guys are enjoying it. And so I'll see you in 2 weeks, right? So go out there. I want to wish you all the love and success in the world. Make lots of money, and I'll see you in 2 weeks. Any ideas and comments, please send them my way. Go on to the weddingsforliving.com site, and I'll talk to you soon. Thanks, guys. Have a great fortnight, another great 2 weeks. Talk to you soon.